This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, May the 31st, 2022, episode 385. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. It's great to have you here. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on various social media platforms by visiting my website, nickcraig.com or nickcraig.net. You can also check out my brand new Substack. How about that? nickcraig.substack.com. You can check that out and subscribe for free over there. And of course, visit our website, infectionpodcast.com. The reason we have an infectionpodcast.com website, because of our illustrious co-host, Brian with an I, the webmaster Aldrich. Hello, Brian. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, that is me. I am doing well, and thank you. If you want to find me, first of all, go to at Brian Aldrich on Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social, and then at Boise Computer on Twitter. We'll see. I don't know the proud cheer dad, I think it was, if he's going to delete his account anytime soon. I'm not holding out for that.
What?
Some guy at Brian Aldridge is like a proud cheer dad.
And well, that's unfortunate.
Pictures of him taking his kid to cheer practice. So it's great. But also, you can go to our website.
I'm sure it's not a Google Plus guy that's doing some of that stuff.
It could be. You never know. if you want to go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, go to the right-hand side, and you'll see on there we can join our server on Discord. We got 10 ARC servers going there, people hanging out, chatting in politics, and all kinds of other channels. If you want to be a part of that, go ahead and join. If you are joining for ARC, make sure you make a note in there, because then we can add you to the ARC role, and you'll see all the ARC channels that the other people do not see. Of course, if you want to watch the video forms of the podcast, I encourage you to go do that at YouTube, BitChute, DLive, and Twitch. I think I got them all there. And then if you want to get the audio-only forms, go to the lower right-hand side, and there's whatever platform device you want to use. They're right there. If you're going to listen, though, I encourage you to go to the particular episode that we're listening to and follow the show notes, because in there we've got links for videos, articles, anything that we reference throughout the show. Whenever we're talking about a specific topic, it'll be in there. And that way, if you're listening, you can follow along and catch some of the videos, because we do have a lot of videos usually. And if you want to support us, there's the support option up top, or you can go to infectionpodcast.com/support, where Prime Gaming subs, Subscribe Star, all kinds of different things that you can do.
Absolutely. And I guess we'll start off with this, and we'll talk a little bit about it. PAX West has announced that they are going to be holding their 2022 convention, as they have done for the past, I think, 2009 is when PAX really started kicking off. So for, obviously, without the couple of years off, about a decade or so. But I caught a couple of interesting things here, Brian. Following the similar protocols from last year, to attend PAX West in Seattle, Washington, you are not only going to have to be vaccinated, which I will say this, it's a private event, so they're more, I mean, you know, they can do whatever they want. There's no problem there. Yeah. But you also have to wear a mask. And that is, definitely takes away from a lot of these. The whole reason you go to these events, at least when we first started going to them, was to put names to email addresses or faces to email addresses and Twitter handles and really get that, that personal human interaction with developers and other people. And, just looking at the pictures, and I'll give massively OP credit for this, looking at this picture, on their article, I mean, this is the social interaction with everybody.
Yeah.
This guy can't see or breathe with his VR headset and double mask on. So it's just not really what we're interested in doing. So unfortunately, we are taking yet another year off of PAX. I'm hopeful that maybe at some point, Brian, and maybe this is wishful thinking, that they will get back to some semblance of having a normal event. I'd love to go. But I will be damned if I'm walking around and the convention's floor is always warm because there's always a gazillion people there. I'll be damned if I'm going to be sweating my ass off inside of a convention center, walking around with a mask on, trying to interview and talk to people. It's just not going to.
I'm not going to do an interview holding a mic, because one thing, the way the audio sounds with the mask over your mouth, it just doesn't pick up. It's not like this where it's a pop filter. It's a muffler.
Yeah, it's a mask.
And it just muffles what you say. So it's quite a bit different. It's not worth it.
Yeah. So
all the stuff we have to go through, it's already hard enough.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, until they, you know, come back to living in, you know, real world instead of being in their little cocoon over there in Seattle, Washington, and thinking that they're going to drop dead of COVID-19, we'll just unfortunately not be able to go to the events. It sucks.
Yeah, and so we'll see going forward and check next year, and hopefully that'll be something that happens. Or
absolutely,
we'll go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, we might be doing that anyway. Coming up this summer, fall, whatever it might be. So, yeah, that's what we've got on that. Brian, there's a couple of pretty interesting things in the notes today, and I think it only makes sense that we start off with humble beginnings and talk about the original proprietors of H1Z1, which was at the time SOE, Sony Online Entertainment. Sony Online Entertainment, and then morphed into Daybreak, and then managed to split off into all of these different companies with this ENAD Global 7 group purchased Daybreak and split off PlanetSide into one company and Lord of the Rings into another company, and just kind of parted the company out into essentially each company as it stands is pretty much responsible for a game or a line of games. There was the thought that they were in there. Well, there it wasn't the thought that was confirmed that there was a Marvel MMO that was in development, which is very much on brand for Daybreak, EverQuest, Lord of the Rings, some of the other games that they've got. They either started or manage these MMOs. It's kind of their bread and butter, and they've been doing it for, you know, EverQuest has been out for what, 25 years now, the early 90s or mid to late 90s when EverQuest 1 dropped. But it seems that the game that was in development at Daybreak has been canceled, Brian. It's canceled.
Yeah. Well, they were planning on putting more than $50 million into this project over the next 3 years. So that money supposedly is going to be diversified across a couple of other smaller projects that they currently have.
Which are what?
It could be, there's a previously announced Lord of the Rings Online upgrades that they're supposed to be doing, DC Universe Online, and then they're supposedly have some first party original IPs that they're working on, you know, that they haven't announced yet. But who knows what that is?
So they, you know, and it's interesting because this hasn't been something that was in the works for years. The first, this was kind of birthed into existence back in late last year during an investor call that happened in, I think it was October of 2021. And now here we are, you know, the final day of May, you know, heading into the summer, and the game has already been scrapped. I would imagine they were still very much in the development and design phase of the game, more heavily on the design side of it. I can't imagine that they had done a whole hell of a lot of development as of yet, especially since they were working with Marvel. A lot of that, and it's not like they were building assets. They were likely just getting assets from, you know, Marvel Studios and tweaking.
No, actually, here, go to that second. There's a second link there, because some of the artists that were working on the character and UI and all that posted a bunch of their stuff on Twitter from what the game was going to look like. So if you look there, this is their Marvel MMO title, you know, that was canceled by Ramiro Galan, I assume his name is pronounced. But you can kind of see it was kind of a cartoony style
Let me pull
X-Men
up.
Game.
Yeah, let me check that. So here's,
and you can see some of the graphics for the outfits they could get.
So Yeah, I mean, so, okay, so, yeah, I think that kind of bolsters, not doesn't bolster my point, but I think it makes the point that this was in the, this was more in the design stage planning. And I don't know what happened. Marvel seems to be, you know, I'm not a Marvel fan, but just in general, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I just don't follow the universe, but Marvel seems to kind of be on the rise from everything that I've seen. So I'm not sure if it is an issue with Daybreak. Is it an issue with Marvel? Is
maybe
just
funding? Maybe they don't want to put $50 million.
Yeah, no, maybe there was a lack of faith, which I wouldn't understand, which I probably would understand. It's noted here in this PC Game article that EG7, the investment firm that owns Daybreak and its subsidiaries, said it would take a write-down, essentially a financial loss, for $23.3 million as a result of this cancellation. So I assume that 23.3 is not what they've invested thus far, but I assume that they signed contracts and deals with Marvel, and they expected a certain number of revenue on top of the $50 million that they were going to invest in the game. So they've decided to essentially scrap that, and they're now going to take a pretty significant loss on it. This is the second Marvel MMO project that has been canceled. Because there was another Marvel MMO project that was canceled back in 2018.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. There was another one that was a much bigger studio. It was one of the major studios that was doing that one, and they still could not get an audience for it. I'm trying to remember. It was Square Enix.
No, it was Daybreak.
Wasn't that them?
Yeah. No, but Daybreak was working on a Marvel one in 2018.
But also, there was one that was by Square Enix in 2020, and that didn't get hardly any kind of players onto it. So, I think that their universe, maybe it's just losing a lot of people's interest. I don't know. A lot of people say they're Marvel fans, but maybe they don't want to play the games.
Well, and maybe it's a contracting issues. I would think maybe not, but I guess it's a possibility. So there you go.
All right. So that's going on. Let's, do you mind what we talk about next? Or?
I was going to jump off over to Microsoft. Seems like, you know, let's be honest, folks. You know, we've been doing this a long time, 385 episodes, and it's been known in the past that we have encouraged certain people to do certain things, and we've kind of, you know, Brian, I hate to try to toot our own horns here, but we've been known as trendsetters in a lot of things. It seems that the big wigs over at Microsoft have been listening to this illustrious program because all news this week pointing at the fact that Microsoft is making a quote dongle, which I thought that term had long been gone, but a dongle for video game, or making a video game streaming stick. So I'll say to you, Brian, take it away. This is something that you have been very much ahead of over a couple of years now. We've been talking about this. What have we learned here from Microsoft?
Well, so first of all, what they've done is they've announced some sort of taking a new approach to this. Of course, what's something that's come out recently from Steam that might be a reason to kind of take a new approach? You know, they came out with a hardware device that rivals the Switch. Which is doing very well. Mobile gaming is doing very well. Right. And so I think here what we've got is Microsoft possibly making not only a device that hooks into your TV or whatever kind of monitor you have, but also something that has the ability to have controllers hooked to it, and possibly a portable gaming device. Because what would, other than making something that's a screen that has some sort of controllers and the ability to catch Wi-Fi and cell phone internet, that's all they need for their streaming service. They don't need a high-powered device. They don't need something as powerful as a Switch, because they have the ability to stream every single game on their platform if they wanted to. You know, as long as they have licensing, which I would assume they have licensing for through their studio. And so I think that is something that this opens the door to, because this I think they see as the next step. People are going to be handing their kids a portable device that, hey, play Xbox rather than taking up a whole TV. It just makes a lot more sense. And they've got nearly the same kind of performance. With our youngest right now, I hand him a tablet, and that's all he needs. He plays Minecraft on it. Of course, he likes to play Fortnite and things on an Xbox, but this would open that up too. If I just give them an oversized tablet or a screen that hooks into one of these, I don't have to give them anything but that. All they need is a controller, this little dongle, and a screen that connects, and the dongle needs to connect to internet. With that, they can game almost anywhere. And I think this is going to be their next step.
Yeah, and I think you have, opened my eyes to the, I obviously don't have any children. So when I'm thinking of the gaming universe, Brian, I'm thinking about solo myself, just kind of doing my thing. But, as you've gone through the process and started digging into some of this stuff, while, you're talking about a streaming stick, which means you're talking about a subscription-based service, which is obviously going to be their Xbox Game Pass. There still seems to be an issue, and we looked at this a couple of months ago. There does still seem to be a ball that is being dropped by Microsoft when it comes to some sort of family account with Game Pass. Yeah. I know that Netflix has got some sort of family account. Spotify's got family accounts where you pay like $20 for one user, or $10 for one user, and then each additional user is $5 or something like that. And Microsoft, it seems to me, and obviously this is rumored, this is not like it's something that's going to be out tomorrow, but they're going to have to do this. And there is also rumors out as of a couple of months ago that Game Pass Family Plan is reportedly in the works, and it's going to have to be because the only way this thing works, the only way that a subscription model like this works for, your whole thing, Brian, was, I think it's a little bit different when you're talking about the solo gamer, which, most of them are. But when you're talking about the family experience, you're not going to have three or four $20 a month subscriptions. Your whole thing has always been the idea that you can, budget and pay for a $15 or $19.99 a month service and not have to worry about the new $60 title when it comes out, and kids begging you for a game, or even yourself, being like, all right, let me go and, all right, I got to go and, dump $60 into this. The only way that works is with a family plan.
And the thing is, for instance, this last couple of days, a game that my wife has played, Sniper Elite, their new version, Sniper Elite 5 or whatever it's called, came out, and that's now it's included in the Game Pass. But because the Game Pass is on my account, I have to log into that console so that then she has the ability to play it, which doesn't work for a family thing. Now, if they want to work out, because, for instance, on a family plan, do we need to be able to play with each other in the same house? Do we need three full licenses but does it make sense that we would need three full licenses for the family to get together and play a game together? They don't give us good opportunities for split screen like you used to in the old days. There's not really split screen. There's very few split screen games around anymore.
And I think that's exactly what Microsoft is going to have to figure out. And there's probably there's obviously a million things that they could do. The problem, I shouldn't say it's a problem. It comes down to the complexity, right? I mean, they could have 25 different tiers of, all right, two people can play the same game at one time, three people, four, and have all of these different breakdowns in this matrix of plans, but that's just going to be incredibly confusing and just not lucrative for Microsoft at all. So they're going to have to simplify this, and I don't know how they're going to simplify it. Maybe they have a family plan that is, I don't think it matters that you're playing the same game at the same time. Microsoft, I don't know how they're handling the licensing on their end.
That's usually how it is right now. Is it a game per you? So I could log into another one on one game and then this one on a game, but I can't play the same game on both.
But now we're also talking about streaming. You're talking about playing games that are downloaded. That's using local authentication. So we're talking with a stick. We're talking about all streaming. So I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe age license. I don't know.
Let's read. I want to give you the quote that they said. So here's the quote from Microsoft regarding this, because it was they announced here what the code name is for the project. But our vision for Xbox Cloud Gaming is unwavering. Our goal is to enable people to play the games they want on the device they want, anywhere they want. As announced last year, we've been working on a game streaming device, codename Keystone, that could be connected to any TV or monitor without the need for a console. As part of any technological journey, we are constantly evaluating our efforts, reviewing our learnings, and ensuring we are bringing value to our customers. We have made the decision to pivot away from the current iteration of the Keystone device. We will take our learnings and refocus our efforts on a new approach that will allow us to deliver Xbox Cloud Gaming to more players around the world in the future. So what does that mean? That's where I think they're probably going to take it and even go another direction, which is possibly devices, streaming devices, tablets, you know, things that work. Because they were probably thinking a very basic dongle that you hook a wireless controller to, but I think there's a big, much bigger market than that.
And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, you know, Microsoft really could be in a lucrative spot to take over the set-top box market. I really believe that they could. If I could get one device that, you know, right now I'm a Roku guy. I've got four Rokus in the house. I've got a Roku at work. Big fan of the Roku, except my Roku Ultra Remote broke, which is pissing me off. But a big Roku fan. If Microsoft, because I think what you run into, Brian, is the original Chromecast, where you get a device, great, but it doesn't do anything but the one use case. And I'm not sure how interested people are going to be in that. You're talking about televisions now that have two HDMI ports. You know, especially some of the cheaper TVs, which if you're talking about, you know, kidding your family up with this stuff, you're not going to, they're not going to be playing on $700 TVs. They're going to be playing on the $199 Walmart special. If I'm going to go and buy a $70 set-top box, which is what this thing is probably going to cost, as it should, it's going to have to do more than just play Xbox Cloud games, Brian. It's going to have to do Netflix. Yep. It's going to have to do Spotify and YouTube. It's going to have to do these things. Because if not, then it's just another set-top piece that you might use every once in a while versus your set-top box. Very similar to what Android TV did back in 2010 when it was the end-all be-all. You did everything on the Android TV. Your DVR passed through it. You could browse the web. You could run your apps. You could do all of that stuff. Microsoft is, from my vantage point, cannot make a one-trick pony box. It's not gonna take off. People are not gonna embrace a one-trick pony box, I don't think.
Well, and I remember, I think it was in 2006 or 2007, I went to a convention where Microsoft was presenting, and they went on the stage and they were showing what they viewed as the future of electronics, and they wanted to have it to where their devices were controlling the house, were controlling the entertainment system. And that's kind of what their Xbox was halfway, because they wanted it to be an entertainment center as well. And so they would go around and, you know, they'd have it to where you could play your DVDs in there, and you could stream, have apps. And I think that is their overall goal. I think probably what the redesign could as well be is bringing more into what that thing does. Because if you have it totally open to apps and things like that, you can have it control things in your home. You can really open it up just like a phone does. But, you know, they've really struggled with marketplaces at Microsoft and having their own stores. You know, they'd have to get it to where this thing is like a mobile app store. But I think they have to have something like that where people can make it do more and they don't have to do everything. Kind of like what phones have become, and for us, what the Roku is, because you could put whatever you want on there and do all kinds of things with it. That's where Google really messed up, was making it the one-trick pony, when that's not what a streaming device is supposed to be, because there's so many things you could do with it.
Well, and it's unfortunate for Microsoft, Brian, because they've had so many failed iterations of app stores. You can look at the original Windows, devices, like the ones that ran Windows, was it Windows XP Mobile, like the Windows PDA, Palm Pilot thing.
PE? Windows CE.
Yeah, exactly. Windows CE. Then they had, of course, the kind of the original Windows phone. Then that went away. Then they brought back the Nokia phone and tried to restart their app store again. They have had a really, really bad time with their stores. They just all of these devices.
I understand why they're nervous if that's what's making them apprehensive.
I would be incredibly
going nervous. In and try to do all that. But you know, you don't want to tack into the Android marketplace. You don't want to tack into any of the existing ones because they'll try to restrict you.
But here's the good thing for Microsoft. Fortunately, for TV streaming, there is a million different apps and a million different services. By the way, the Roku is a closed ecosystem, and it's one of the most used set-top boxes. So we'll start off with that. Yeah. But there's really only about a dozen and a half, maybe two dozen apps that they really need that would paint about 95% of the user base, Brian. Of course, you're going to have the Xbox app, the xCloud app, whatever the hell that's called. You pretty much only need Netflix, Hulu,
Disney Plus,
Amazon, Disney Plus, maybe Spotify and Pandora, a couple of other Fubo and some of those. It's not like you need 1,000 apps the second you launch. You can get away with probably 15 to 20 apps and obviously over time add things in, but you could paint a broad enough stroke with the market with those original apps if you can coin those deals. The biggest problem, I'm trying to remember, with the Windows phone that they tried relaunching back in like 2012 or 2014, is that there were some huge apps that were missing. I don't think that there wasn't an Instagram app. There wasn't a Snapchat app. These were popular services, and you couldn't use them on your Windows smartphone, your Lumia, whatever the hell it was called. And that's always been Microsoft's big problem, is they just fail to deliver on its use case.
Well, and this would be an opportunity for them to actually start making an alternate marketplace. Because what if, for them, if they say, hey, all right, well, we're going to make a marketplace, but we're going to make it in an open format, to where this is a marketplace that can play, you know, delivers this form of like there's Java files and there's Android files and like this, but could deliver something that's playable on a more open, not Android, not iPhone device. Like, that would be my dream of where they would go with this, but I don't know if they're necessarily going to jump off that cliff and aim that far. But I think this would be the opportunity to do it. Make it to where you have your own little ecosystem that you're building apps for. And then if you want to open it up to other people, that's how you compete. That's how you make an alternate, because then people will start making apps for it. And that's all that's missing, as they saw with the phones. If they won't make the apps for your device, then you're kind of stuck, because people aren't
exactly
going to purchase your device.
Yeah. So I guess now the ball is in Microsoft's court. It's important to note that there's not going... You know, it's important to note that you should not expect perfection on day one. The idea that that's going to be the case, I think, is ridiculous, especially when you're talking about a new service. I don't care how big the company is. But I will say this, Brian, if Microsoft does this right, they really, I think, will cement themselves in a very lucrative manner. If they don't, the risk is also very high as well. Because there are other services that are available, and Microsoft is essentially going to get, this is very similar to Stadia, they're going to get one shot at this. And if they fumble like Stadia did, they will, fortunately, they still got the Xbox and the Microsoft brand behind them. But we've talked about for years now, 7 years we've been doing this show, when talking about those first impressions and how important that is for the consumer. And if you really want to have your consumers embrace a cheap physical device for 50, 60, 70 bucks. And then, you know, Brian, you talk about a family plan with four people, you're probably talking about close to $100 a month, which sounds like a lot of money and is a lot of money. But if you're buying 3-4 AAA titles a year for four different consoles, the price kind of leverages and averages itself out over the year.
If you want to play the game with each other, you know, the thing is there's multiplayer, and if you want to play a multiplayer game together in the same house, you need multiple licenses.
Yeah. Call of Duty. Like, you're going to drop $60 a copy.
Exactly. You can't play Call of Duty together. And even though you're on the Ultimate Pass, well, then you need what, four Ultimate Passes for four Xbox accounts?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's well, just, yeah. That yeah, four Xbox accounts, four emails, credit card. It's just it's not managed. There's no central place. They're gonna do there. There's no question about it. They're gonna do the family streaming. The question is, how well do they do that, and then can they transition that into a device? So it seems like Microsoft is very much they're all in on this. So that's super cool.
Yeah, so they're going for it. Now, I heard you started with a certain song in the when we were getting ready to start the podcast.
A little bit of Kenny Loggins.
And Microsoft here is getting ready to release, or they are releasing, a Top Gun flight simulator kind of add-on, and it's free. So there's a video for this. Do you want to play this?
I'm gonna play the video, but I'm not gonna play the music.
Okay.
So,
all right, that works.
Now, for some reason, the video won't play on Microsoft's website, but
nice. Hmm. And the graphics. That's one thing I wanted to show. They've done a really good job with the graphics on this.
Let me see if it's somebody put it on YouTube. For some reason, can you click play on the Microsoft website? Does it play for you?
Well, I have a link right below it. That's the YouTube one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Okay, I've got that. So we'll go ahead and just talk over this because I'm sure they're playing. Top Gun.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're playing.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and just skip over that. So this says that this is captured in 4K in
4K.
All that you're seeing right now is not yeah, this is not in engine, in game 4K in gameplay in which this is captured. This looks very good.
Looks amazing.
Now, now obviously
they've got their Microsoft Water Physics, which are known to be good.
Yes, and obviously Flight Simulator already is the new Flight Simulator. People have been raving on for, it's been out for what, a year and a half now, maybe a little bit longer than that. So people have been raving about that. But this looks cool. Free DLC. I wonder, it's interesting that it's free DLC. I don't know who's paying for it. I mean, because somebody's paying for it, obviously. Is this?
Well, I bet you it's part of marketing too. Yeah, I bet you this is a partnership.
Well, that's my question: is who is behind this? Is this 21st Century Fox or whatever behind the movie? Are they doing this, or is Microsoft doing this to try and bolster Flight Simulator, or is this maybe some sort of partnership deal? But pretty cool and interesting to note: Game Pass, Xbox Series S and X, Windows Store, and Steam. So the idea that Microsoft is not fully embracing Steam continues to be fall flat, as it's on all of their branding.
Yeah. So I've been wanting to play. I mean, I've done a little bit of the new Flight Simulator. I've got it installed and everything. I might try it out for this mode. See if they actually have a fighting mode, because I don't know if you can shoot rockets or if you're just flying around in that kind of a jet.
Yeah, this is not
their old original Microsoft Flight Simulator had a battle mode.
A dog fight mode,
yep. Back in the 90s, back in the 90s. That version had a dog fight mode. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sure it was very lucrative to play. I'm sure it was. Yeah, exactly. It looked like a Space Invaders on your 386 SX. I will say I haven't seen the new Top Gun yet. It's not relevant to this show, but I've heard it's phenomenal. So I'm probably going to go see it this week or this weekend. It's nice. It's the Tom Cruise's highest grossing.
Oh yeah, like $100 million
any movie, $150 million in the opening weekend, which for somebody, Tom Cruise has been in a gazillion movies. I mean, the guy's been doing movies for 30 plus years.
Yeah, exactly. Some big, really big titles.
Huge titles.
There's one he's been in the series of, and what's the one where he's an undercover agent of some sort? It's got six or seven different movies for that one, and that's a pretty big one. I don't remember the name of it, but I'm not a big
movie fan, but I do love the original Top Gun. Love the soundtrack from the original Top Gun. So go see that. But a very cool partnership deal here. I'll tell you this: they have really gone all out with the with the marketing of this game. I saw an ad.
Yeah.
What was I watching? I was watching something over the weekend on television, and they're doing an ad. They're doing a thing with Applebee's as well, which you wouldn't. which I'm not eating at. But they're doing a thing with Applebee's where if you spend $25, Brian, you get a free ticket to the movie. So they're oh, nice. It's weird because, you know, movie marketing is kind of one of those things where you can either, it's like some, a lot of movies just don't do anything, right? They put the movie out, they put a trailer and buy ad time on it, and that's
they have the actors talk at a couple different places.
Yeah, and that's about it. But they have really gone hall hog with Top Gun Maverick with all of these different promotional things. You know, Flight Simulator, you've got a physical thing where you're going into a restaurant and they've got a cardboard cutout of Tom Cruise there. You spend money, you get some dinner, you get a free ticket to the movie. It's a very, very interesting kind of old school advertising model.
Yeah.
It seems to be paying dividends because they've made a literal boatload of money in just the opening weekend of this movie. And I don't know if, you know, obviously it's, you're talking about one of, I would say Top Gun is one of the, it's an incredibly iconic movie. I mean, I think it's one of the movies that almost everybody has seen. Definitely up there. So obviously you can't promote a crappy movie and expect to have the same results. But I just wonder in general, when we talk about advertising and marketing of movies and video games, if anybody will take anything away from how successful Top Gun Maverick has been. And maybe some of that is in, due in part to some of these partnerships. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if anybody else takes any notes from what they've done.
Yeah, and thank you, Falcon. Mission Impossible. That's the
of course. Huge movies. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the thing is it seems like he's really slowed down the last couple of years.
Oh, he's 60. He's sure turning 60 tomorrow. I mean, he's old.
Yeah. So he was
almost as old as you, Brian. Yeah.
Action movies. He's old enough to be
No, he's not. He's not old enough to be your dad.
Is he old enough to be my dad? How old is he?
I mean, technically, but not really.
Barely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, so we'll see. I'm gonna have to try that on the game mode and see how all that works. But
excellent.
It looks really good. Visually, it looks really good. So I'm interested. All right, hey, let's talk really quickly about a similar game, Euro Truck Simulator. I just want to talk about this really quick. They're dropping the Heart of Russia DLC over the Ukraine invasion.
Wow.
So this is one thing they didn't want to seem like they're in solidarity with Russia, so they dropped the Heart of Russia DLC. I don't know. I'm assuming they're not deleting it.
You get your money back? Oh, wait. It wasn't done yet. It's not done. It was expected to be out. They said on February 24th, 2022, our Heart of Russia team was some 6 to 8 weeks away from completing work on the highly new anticipated DLC. Yep. We felt really good about the result. A lot of effort in making it. So they decided to, pull the plug on it.
They sold 85,000 copies already. And so, who knows? So here, let me read this to you exactly. February 24th was the day the Russia launched its full-scale invasion, move that left the studio in shock. The studio quickly took steps to raise funds for humanitarian aid in the nation, primarily through the creation of the Ukrainian Paint Jobs Pack for Euro Truck Simulator 2 and American Truck Simulator, which has already sold 85,000 copies. That's that one. Heart of Russia was put on hold at that time. And then after months of consideration, they have elected to shelve it. So I don't know that there was any pre-sales on it.
No, there probably wasn't.
They should be pretty safe. Yeah, they should be pretty safe with that.
Interesting. So you've essentially got a complete...
6 to 8 weeks away. Isn't that crazy?
At 6 to 8 weeks out, and I don't know how it works with development, but I would assume 6 to 8 weeks out, Brian, you're pretty much polishing. There's very little that you're probably, you're done with development for all intents and purposes. So they've got an entire DLC on the shelf that it'll be interesting to see if it ever creeps its way out of, if it ever creeps its way out, a couple of years from now or whatever. I mean, it'll be interesting. Exactly. But they've got a full DLC that's done.
Because everybody's mad at Russia right now. But let's say 6 months from now, Vladimir Putin's no longer in office, whatever. They've voyaged a peace treaty. Everybody's shaking hands, acting like they're friendly. Whatever it is that brings this to an end. At that point, are we still have to say that we're mad at Russia? I mean, because the thing is, I'm not mad at Russia. I'm mad at some people in Russia that are making decisions. right? Because I would bet you, just like some of the decisions that our president makes, a bunch of people aren't behind them. You know, are they supposed to get mad at us for his decisions? No, I'm not going to get mad at the people there. So once this is all settled, I'm assuming there's going to be a point where Russia is no longer a bad word. Just like when I was growing up, Russia was a bad word. In the 80s, Russia was a bad word. Everything was, you know, Russia was the enemy. You look at all the movies, the propaganda, everything was Russia's the enemy. And then I saw that changed because, you know, you had Gorbachev who tore down the wall, and you turn around and now all of a sudden Russians are our friends and Russians are friendly and there's nothing wrong with Russians. So, you know, this is something that can quickly change. Just because you don't like what Putin's doing doesn't mean that you don't like Russians. You know, that's part of just because you don't like what someone is doing doesn't mean that everybody who does that's bad, which is a big part of racism and all you know, similar type of thinking. That's what leads to that, is when you say, oh, this person, a person that looks like this did that, therefore, or that sounds like this did that, therefore they're all bad. Okay, well, don't shelve it and destroy all your work, you know, unless, and hold on to it, because I bet you here in a couple of years, Russia's no longer going to be a bad word.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Brian, this has been something that's been on our agenda here for the past couple of weeks. Take Two, which is another one of these studios, and I forgot to mention. Take Two, obviously, is also Rockstar. Who's the parent? Is it Take Two that's the parent of Rockstar?
Take Two is the parent. Yeah, they're the parent
of Rockstar. This happened over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about how Rockstar was essentially outside of EA and Ubisoft. They are really the only large development house that is really left. Yep. And instead of them being acquired by somebody else, they have done a merge with another huge company that is Zynga, which is a very popular mobile game company. You know, that you talk about Words with Friends, a whole bunch of other mobile games with
all
them.
All of that stuff. A ton of them.
Yeah. And so they've announced that Take-Two and Zynga have merged in what, for the moment, is the biggest corporate deal in gaming history. The stockholders of each company approved the proposal last week, and shares of Zynga ceased trading after the market closed on Friday. Shareholders received $3.50 for shares and received 0.0406 Take-Two shares for every share of Zynga. So it was partially a cash deal, but also a part stock in another company. And you might think, oh, $3.50, that's not a lot. This is a $12.7 billion deal, Brian. This is larger than the acquisition.
Well, I think it's So until Microsoft's deal closes, that this is the biggest deal.
Okay.
Once Microsoft's closes, then that will be the biggest deal. But this is a very large amount of money, and I think this is really showing where they're kind of aiming their future efforts too. Because what would be perfect? We saw how well the GTA mobile versions went out, and what was their biggest problem that they had with that? What did Take Two say was it was issues with the mobile development and the outsourcing that they did? They farmed out the turning their thing to mobile. It did really bad. It made them look bad, and that's not something they like. Well, how do you get around that? You buy one of the biggest, biggest mobile gaming company. Zynga's right up there.
It's them and PopCap, I think, are the two outside of whatever's going on.
Who is owned by, who's now owned by Microsoft, right?
PopCap is owned by Microsoft?
I think that's all under one of those companies.
Interesting, because I know PopCap is like the match games. That's where they made their bucks.
Yeah, Electronic Arts owns PopCap.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So this right here, for a single company individual like this, this is like the mobile gaming company out there. And I just think that they want to really start, because we're talking about Xbox going mobile, all these games going mobile, and mobile no longer meaning a very limited service, a very limited experience, because that's what mobile was before. If you would have games that you played on Xbox, and there's how they looked, and then there was the games you played on your phone, and then there's how they look, because your phone was only able to render or do things in a certain way But you turn around now with the ability of streaming, or the fact that most phones now are mini computers and have graphics cards in them and the ability to render 3D properly, do visual effects, do all of these things. This makes a lot more sense to put GTA and make it so that you have an online mobile version that's GTA Online. Like, that's the place that they could go with this and make it a real experience.
So you took the story one way, I took it another. And that's not saying I disagree with anything that you said. I took this story and this idea from the fact that it seems that they're not interested in being acquired by anybody. I think this pretty much puts Take-Two's foot in the ground that they are going to continue to operate as their own proprietor. I can't imagine that they would be willing to, and it's a merge. That's because it's not a full acquisition. It's some sort of merger deal. That's why they're paying cash plus shares. So the company will likely be named, Take-Two Zynga Interactive or Zynga Interactive Take-Two, something like that. The company's name will likely change to. But to me, you're not going to go through with a nearly $13 billion acquisition and then also be shopping yourself out behind the scenes to another company. Essentially at this point, Brian, it's Microsoft, Sony, EA, and Take-Two. Those are the four companies that are, and obviously still Ubisoft, but those are the four large companies that are developing games as of right now, or their subsidiary studios. So that to me was what I took away from it, is that they're going to stay doing their own thing, which is probably
Here's a quote from the CEO of Zynga. He says, "We are excited for Zynga's next generation mobile platform. Free-to-play expertise, diverse offerings of games, and incredible team to join the Take-Two family." This is Frank Gibeau. "We are eager to continue building an unparalleled portfolio of games that will reach broader markets and lead to continued growth for the next chapter of Zynga's history." I mean, this opens up a huge IP for them of some pretty good things that no one had access to before, right? Rockstar has some pretty cool... A lot of them are fairly adult type games that have a lot of bloodiness in them. But hey, this is the kind of stuff that they can make, and people will buy them. There's a big audience.
But it's also Take-Two, Brian, which is other games like BioShock, Borderlands, Civ. Yeah. I mean, you're also talking about some very large titles outside of GTA. I'm not sure how this works. But maybe this puts, obviously, so the games I just mentioned, GTA, BioShock, Borderlands, Civ, those are all huge PC games, right? And huge console games. But from the flip side, and you're talking about maybe taking some of those and having some sort of mobile version, which might work, might not. But from Zynga's aspect, where they build more, they're more heavily focused on the mobile market, which tend to be more of a simplified game. Can you not meet somewhere in the middle and make more arcadey games like Golf with Friends and some more of those kind of lighthearted PC games as well? I see that as an option, maybe for Zynga to take some of their popular mobile IPs and scale those up into full-fledged PC and console games like a Golf with Friends or something of that nature that can be especially you're talking about Game Pass, Brian, that's the perfect kind of game to have on a Game Pass, a golf game, some sort of, arcade style game. Those are the perfect kind of things for Game Pass, especially in a family.
What about companion apps as well? I mean, look at GTA. Yeah. They kind of had that iFruit app that they made for one of them, but have it to where you have true companion apps. Because people that are playing GTA Online, there's not really a way for them to play that well when they're not at the computer. And so if you came up with kind of side games and things you can do that help bolster your account in game, people will be doing that all day. And so I think it opens up a lot for the various types of games that they can offer that for, because BioShock and all those, there's a lot of things that you could do with side games or things that maybe bring a game, not only having a version that's on the console or that's doing, whatever device you're playing it on, but then can connect to a mobile app that allows you to do things on the side, a heads up UI, whatever it is you want to show. There's a lot of cool things they can do that it sounds like they didn't have the experience or the expertise over at Rockstar before or Take Two to do this, because most of their games don't have any of this kind of stuff built in. If it is, it's kind of a one-off. They don't really update it. And it was just made when the game was released. And so I think this is where I'm really interested to see what other things they're going to add to the current games to make them even better and more interactive.
This is a very interesting merger. You've got literally two polar opposites of the gaming sphere merging into one, and it'll be very cool. I'm thinking over the next couple of years, we're going to see some very interesting stuff out of this new merged company. Some very kind of unique first one-off little things that they're going to do. That's very exciting. That's cool to see.
Yeah. Well, let's transition here really quickly because, sorry, my mic, I'm trying to watch it. Let's transition really quickly to Sony with our remaining time, because this is something that I think all plays in together. They're being hit with huge supply chain issues. Mm. And I think this is something for them, trying to count on being able to get all these Xboxes or placed PS5s when they come out. We found that that's not guaranteed. I mean, we're still having shortages for those. How many years later from release date? Not everybody has a new generation console that wants one this far down the cycle. I just think that's crazy. So here we're still showing a lot of issues. And I think that this is something where Sony is going to have to figure out another way. Because if you just take a look, What are they going to do if these hardware issues continue? Or Microsoft releases something to where people don't want to have a big device like that anymore, right? They want to have this little lightweight device that does everything they want, and they don't want to pay $600 because that'll become the standard. You pay for a service. You don't pay $600 for a console anymore.
They're trying their damnedest to do this, Brian. They announced their PlayStation revitalization of their PlayStation Plus plan, which will have PC gaming, but it's crazy expensive, and they don't have the back catalog, the titles, or anything else to really back it up. Sony is in a very, very precarious spot right now with this, and I think, Brian, I think you might be a little too bullish on the streaming market. I think that there are a lot of people that will embrace it, but I think there's also still a good chunk of people that still are fine. Because, and let's be clear, a lot of people use we're talking about the set-top box for the Xbox. There's a lot of people that use their PlayStation and their Xbox as their set-top box because it has all of those apps. It's got the Netflix, it's got the Hulu, it's got all of that stuff already. So there are still people that are interested in having a console in their living room, especially if they're if you're really into gaming and you're not a PC gamer, that's what you're going to buy. So I don't think that Sony is necessarily kind of flared out on this, but they were expecting to ship way more Xbox, or they're expecting to ship way more PlayStation 5s. Than they were
by
able
now,
to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it's not like they weren't shipping them because there was no want for them. They weren't shipping them because they didn't have the supplies. They announced that in the last financial quarter, which was to the end of March of 2022, it brought the total for the fiscal year to 11.5 million units shipped. They had a target of 14.8. Yep. That's a significant drop off. You're talking about 20% of your consoles you weren't able to shift, or rather weren't able to ship. That's a huge problem.
That's the thing is, the PlayStation 4, they're getting ready to wind that one down. It's going out of support pretty soon, and there's still 117 million PS4s being used. You turn around and look at that; those are supposed to be being cycled out here.
Well,
and they're not.
But I think Microsoft has the same problem as well, because people, first of all, can't get their hands on them. But second of all, just look at, Brian, we do this every week. How often are we talking about a new game that's really enticing people? The answer is we're not. There's not really been a game. Nothing new that's come out, Brian, has been on the new consoles. Everything is backwards compatible or on PC. Why would you go out and spend all of this money on this new system for, you know, because it looks pretty on the shelf. You're not getting anything. You're going to have to rebuy your games again if you've got the physical discs. They have the Microsoft and Sony, and I don't know if it's them or the development houses, they've really pigeonholed these companies because there's no reason. There's still no reason to buy a new console.
Well, and that's the thing is, Sony has been doing a lot of job postings recently, and the job postings are for things having to do with PC, pushing towards making their exclusives PC.
They
have
to.
Why would you do that unless you're knowing that most people are going to be doing some other form of purchasing your IPs and not purchasing them through your PlayStation ecosystem? That's a problem. And for their, you know, for their being able to have things that they consider only theirs. You know, because these are going out to PC, and if they go to PC, they can pretty much go anywhere at some point.
Yeah.
So I think that this is just going to get bigger and bigger, and they're looking for other ways. You know, I don't remember. Did we talk about with them talking about putting advertisements in the game specifically for Sony? I don't remember if that was related to specifically PlayStation.
It wasn't Sony. I think we talked about it. I think we actually talked about it with Microsoft maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay, Microsoft. And that's the thing is PlayStation is looking at the same thing. Well, if you're going to be going to something that's an online streaming service, well, what can you put in there really easily? Okay. Ads that can change that don't have to be static ads. You can throw them in real time into your game. I think that for them looking at doing advertisements and then giving people a lot of ways to be able to play it, or at least other ways other than a console to play it, that helps offset some of the cost of what you would have lost from not having that on your own hardware device. So I think they're trying to scramble and find where do we go from here. I think Microsoft is on their way with it. I think they're currently, you know, in a stride doing this. But I think that their PlayStation sees it. They see that Microsoft's ahead of them. They're trying to figure out how are we going to come at this and offer anything close. Because up to this point, they've had the PlayStation, they've had an Xbox. They weren't always exactly the same, but they were close enough to compare. Well, I think pretty soon we're going to have something that's not comparable anymore between PlayStation and Xbox. What are they going to offer that's going to compare to these little, you know, set-top little devices that stream everything that's just as good as their consoles? You know, and of course, that's, as you said, not for everybody. You got to have good internet. You know, there is, but I think there's enough people to make it that can hit that mark to where that's going to be the standard. There's going to be some people that can't, and they won't. They'll come up with other ways, but I think that's going to be the standard.
Yeah, and it will be very interesting to see how quickly that transition happens and what the result of all of that is.
Yes. All right.
What do we got?
Is there anything else? Okay, we'll just go with one more. Let's go to CG Projekt Red. They pulled their real-life Witcher school that they were doing.
What?
And, of course, they had the real life Witcher school that they were doing. And of course, PC Gamer, you know, they have their idea of why. And they say, you know, it's possibly due to one former staff's member's ties to a prominent alt-right organization. You know, and
yeah, probably not.
I don't always know what alt-right organization is. But when you get down to it, it sounded like that they, because they're Catholic. Let me read to you what they say. The two claim that the reason is due to Dastin's wife, Anya Warwarziniak, close enough, and her ties to Ordu Luris. It's a pretty bigoted Catholic anti-abortion organization that has for years attempted to quash the rights of both women and the LGBTQ plus community. So that's why they think that she is, what did they call her? a prominent alt-right organization, because she doesn't agree with PC Gamer on abortion rights.
Well, to be fair, they consider Planned Parenthood an alt-right organization too. So there you go.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that here, that's now for PC Gamer to call you pretty much a supremacist, alt-right, you know, all the things that they label with that.
Because you're pro-life.
Because you're pro-life. That's now what they consider the ability, and to say that the companies have the right to cancel what you are a part of is just because you're pro-life. I think that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just sad to see stuff like this, where they write about it as if it's totally normal. you know, the fact that 50% of America believes one way, but you know, those 50% are all right. It's just insanity to me. All because of their saying that they don't agree with abortion.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the Twitter article. I'm scrolling through the Twitter of the author to see if there's any anything in here that jumps out. Surprisingly, it's a relatively subdued Twitter account. So,
yeah,
interesting.
But this, of course, you know, once PC Gamer gets a hold of it, that's what they go for. Well, maybe it's because look at what Witcher School, look at what The Witcher really does. I mean, womanizing, it's a lot of, I mean, what are you teaching them? Because The Witcher, sure, they play with swords, they do some magic, and then they womanize. And that's pretty much what
it is. I can't imagine that there was even an interest for a Witcher School. The whole concept sounds stupid from my vantage point, but... Who knows? Maybe I'm off base. So there you go. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a LARPing. So they did. They launched in 2015 with a LARP, and they had 40 events over 7 years with about 3,000 participants. Hmm. So
interesting.
But now they're canceling it. So there we go.
There you go.
Anything else you wanted to cover before we head on?
No, I think we're good. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Well, if you want to find me at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social, and at Voice of Computer on Twitter, of course, my blog, biteftech.com. I encourage you to go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, where you can go to join our server on Discord, where we've got links to all of our ARC servers, got a politics channel, a lot of different places that you can, if there's a news topic you think we need to be discussing that we're missing, go to our news channel and put a link in there, and we'll cover that before the live show starts. If you want to catch the video forms, we have Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, and DLive. With the audio forms at the lower right-hand side, which is whatever kind of device platform you want to listen to it. But of course, that is after the fact. We upload it once the show is done. And also, we put the show notes up there after we're done. And that way, you can listen and follow along with some of those video links, articles that we refer to. Makes it really easy to follow along and kind of see what you're not able to see when you're listening. If you want to support us, we do have the support option up top or infectionpodcast.com/support, where you have Prime Gaming subs and a lot of other things that you can do. And we appreciate that. And hopefully someday we'll meet in person again to be able to use some of it.
I want to thank our friend Green Man Cartoons for hitting us up with the resubscription here during the show. A tier 152-month subscription. I was saying Brian is in the Matrix, referring to your background there. A little bit too much blue, not enough green if you were going for the Matrix. Thank you, Green Man. It's greatly appreciated. Hopefully we can get together at some point in the next century for that. And Falcon Rain for hitting us up with the resubscription here as well.
37 months.
So, yes, thank you very much for that 37-month resubscription, Falcon. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Brian, thank you as always, and we'll see you next week, all right?
Sounds good. See you then.
Thanks, sir. Thank you for joining us here for another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. You can check out my various things by visiting my website, nickcraig.com or nickcraig.net. You can download the Wilmington's Morning News podcast as well. If you missed any portion of this show, you can check out our website, infectionpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes, links, and videos to all of the things that we talked about. If you want to check out that Top Gun video, you can do that by visiting our website, infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.